All right, it's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group, now offering telemedicine. Dave and Logan along with you. Second half kickoff here this Thursday morning. And it is currently 55 with an expected high today around 75 or 76. A little bit warmer than it was yesterday. Thought that was a swing and a miss on the forecast. Not that they were saying it was going to be a great day or anything like that, but it never warmed up at all.
Well,
it stayed chilly. Weird.
That's disappointing, but not as disappointing as Kent Herbeck pulling Ron Gant's leg off the bag. I'm sour now that you brought it up.
Well, Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland is along with us.
I wonder if he's ever pulled someone's leg off a bag.
Well, I was going to say, I bet he remembers that play just like we all do with Herbeck and Ron Gant there at first base. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, guys, I remember that well, and I remember seeing something because I was with the Twins from 93 to 95, so it was after that happened, but I mean, that was still in that organization. You know, guys would still be talking about that. That would come up, and I can remember Kent Herbeck having an interview. We were in spring training, and he was being interviewed about it. And, you know, he's like, I didn't think it was that big a deal at the time. I'm just playing hard, and I, you know, put a hard tag on a guy, and he happens to be leaning, and heck, I just tagged him. It's the umpire's job to say, hey, I pushed him off, and, you know, I gave him a gentle shove, but I didn't think I was going to get death threats over it. I mean, he's like, I'm getting death threats.
Wow.
About pushing, you know, making a hard tag, and I'm glad that we won the World Series, but I don't know if I would do that again because I'm getting death threats.
Yeah, well, no need to kill the guy over it, but that is
that was his point. He's like, "Hey, I made a hard tag. All the umpire had to do is say, hey, you shoved him a little bit, stay on the bag. He called him out. What am I supposed to do? And I'm getting death threats about it." So, if anyone's out there calling in death threats after a tag, I think we need to reevaluate things.
You were the bad guy after that. That's not good.
Well, take a breath. I was watching that earlier, and I watched it a couple of times, and I was trying to see if they had replay. I don't know that, you know, you're asking the umpire to. Yep. I mean, I thought it was a brutal call, but at the same time, are you asking somebody to, you know, decide intent? And that's there was definitely some momentum, but it didn't look like that much. But, it, you know, if you're asking the umpires to decide intent, well, I take that back. One of our pet peeves now is that you're asking umpires to decide intent on a hit by pitch, right? So, there is that form of what's going on right now, too, which I think is tough for the umpires.
Yeah, the worst rule in college baseball history, and we get to vote on that this year. And actually, I just got to send in my vote for it, and it wasn't just a yes or no. It was, you know, put your comments below. I got a lot of time on my hands, so I wrote a few paragraphs on this is the dumbest thing we've ever done.
I love it.
And again, it got passed, and no one knew it got passed. I mean, we sat down in our SEC coaches meetings in September and went over the new rules, and Paul Gillier, our head of umpires, started to explain, hey, this new rule went into effect, and we all looked at each other, who the heck put this in? We didn't even know about it. And so it just the dumbest rule of, you know what, just call it the way it should be called. If a hitter leans over and gets hit by a pitch on purpose, then your punishment should be, you know what, it's a ball. It was in the batter's box. It's a ball, but you have to stay in the box. And if hitters know that I'm going to take a bruise but not get rewarded for it, they're going to stop getting hit by pitches on purpose. But it's just a dumb rule that went way too far, and I really hope it gets reversed.
Well, I mean, do you think it will?
I don't know. I mean, every coach I talk to says the same thing. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But then again, we don't know who voted on this. So that's the crazy thing about it is, you know, I raised my hand. I'm like, when and how did this get passed? Well, the rules committee did it. Well, who the heck's on the rules committee? And
so
there was a coach. There's a coach in our conference on the rules committee that stayed very quiet during that. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but we weren't all very happy about it.
So if you all vote for it one way, how does it work? It goes to the recommendation of the rules committee. So even if every coach in the country was against it, but if the rules committee voted for it, it would overrule. How does that work? Is that right?
Well, I think if we overwhelmingly vote against it, I think that that it should go that way. But yeah, that's a great question. We don't know, and that's kind of frustrating that some of these things get passed and we don't exactly know how and where. We see some things sometimes, hey, some legislation that's in consideration, but we don't always get to vote on it, and that's a little bit unclear. So this one passed out of nowhere, but I'm hoping that it gets reversed. And all I said was just call it. You can call it the way you're calling it right now, but instead of saying, whoa, go to first base, just stay right here. I watched one last year. I saw it on the highlights in another game. A kid got hit in the head, and he kind of froze, and he went in a little bit towards it, maybe an inch, but he got hit in the back of the helmet. And the umpire said, nope, stay here. Oh. You got hit on purpose. And so, you know, my contention, you're rewarding the pitcher for making a terrible pitch, and you're rewarding him. And we've all seen strike threes.
Yeah.
You know, there's been strike threes to end games.
You called it. You called it. Before it even, before that, was it last season? You called it. And you, the first weekend, you said there were like two games where that ended because of that.
Yeah. Well, it was Troy State and Central Michigan. And we know that because Sean Boland, our trainer, was at Troy State before.
Yeah.
And you know, I'd said it very publicly that this is a terrible rule. This is what's going to happen. And I remember he came in Sunday morning, he's like, Coach, did you see it? I'm like, no, I didn't. And he's like, Troy State, Central Michigan ended. It was 3-2, bases loaded. The winning run's coming in with the hit-by-pitch, and they called it. No, hit-by-pitch, ended the inning. They went into extra innings, and then they lost.
Ugh.
Because the game was over. And it was a ball, you know, it was a backup breaking ball. It was a ball. Now, the kid did lean in a little bit, but it was a clear ball, and they called it a strike. And they end up losing the game because of that stupid rule. God, I hate it.
I didn't mean to trigger you. Sorry about that.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry. I've got a half a cup of coffee, and you got me going.
No. Plus, it's Bobby Cox's birthday.
There you
we
go.
Were talking about, you know, he got thrown out of a game 160-something times. Whatever.
61.
That's a record that'll never be broken now because of instant replay.
Yeah, no question. It's gotten a little bit, you know, balls and strikes are the thing that that will get you. And then I almost got ejected, I think it was, 3 years ago when we played Tech on the interference call on the bunt play. I don't know if you remember that. Tucker Maxwell laid down a bunt, and Tucker Bradley was on first. And him and the second baseman, they didn't make contact, but they got tied up a little bit. Tucker Bradley's running to – actually, I'll tell you what, it was Tucker Maxwell on first and Tucker Bradley bunt. Tucker Maxwell and the second baseman get – kind of tangled up, no contact. The second baseman goes around Tucker Maxwell to go get the ball, but the pitcher fields the ball. Second baseman wasn't even in the play.
I remember
that. Fields the ball and then throws it down the first baseline, just launches it, and we're running all over the place. And you know, that's, I think we won that game 1-0, and we're running all over the place. And the umpire called, no, dead ball, runner interference. You got in the way of the second baseman. He was trying to make a play, and my point was he didn't make the play. The pitcher caught it. And he's like, well, it doesn't matter. And I just couldn't believe that they made that call. And I actually got a letter of – it's the first time in my career I got a letter of apology, like, yep, we screwed that one up.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh, my God, they admit it, that they missed it. I couldn't believe it.
Well, I hope you have that framed.
No, I do not. I do that.
Shredder.
I'm still mad they made that call, but we won the game, so it doesn't matter.
All worked out. Talking with Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.
I'll play the role of David Johnson today, Coach. This week, Georgia was going to they were going to eliminate Florida, and you were also going to get a really big win over Vanderbilt to win the SEC baseball tournament. As we're getting the calendar flipping over and over, are you a little bit excited just to get it behind you so you don't have to think about what was going to be this week and all of that? Will it be easier in midsummer as opposed to right now?
Well, I think it gets easier when we're allowed to go out and finally watch games.
Yeah.
You know, we're still have to sit on our backsides through June, too. So we don't get to go out and watch games at least until July right now. And I think the rationale is, you know, it makes sense for us. Heck, we could just go over to Lake Point in Atlanta and watch games. What's the big deal? But what about the schools up north that got to jump on an airplane and fly and stay in hotels? And so I think that's got something to do with it. And you also look at, you know, the budget crunches that these schools are going through. I think it's an opportunity. Hey, let's just not spend our recruiting budget. Let's not take any risk right now. So save a little bit of money, but also let's stay away from any risk in hotels and flights. So they've knocked it out. No recruiting through June. So if we can get into July and go out and watch some summer baseball and and do some recruiting. I think that does a little bit to heal it and get us going in the right direction.
So yesterday, the NCAA did clear a path where athletes could potentially come back to campus as soon as June 1st, which is, as Dave pointed out earlier, just a week from Monday, sneaking up pretty quick. Everybody's thoughts initially go to football and how does that affect that sport. But this is also a time in the fall where you guys do a lot of preparation. Will this have any effect on baseball at all? Very short here.
Right now, it's just football and men's and women's basketball,
okay,
right?
So that's all it is?
Yeah. It's not any other
it's
sport.
Just football and men's and women's basketball. And basically the approach that we talked about at Georgia about a month ago, this is what we're looking at doing, but now the NCAA has followed suit. It's going to be, football, men's and women's basketball can come in June and kind of do a phased approach. And then in July, your fall sports, for us, women's soccer and volleyball, they can come in July to get ready for their season. And then in August, the rest of the athletes come in. So it's kind of June, July, August, phase it in. And I think what we're doing, and it makes sense, is let's bring some in June. Let's see how it goes. Let's make sure that schools are doing what we're supposed to do. And then let's just add on to that. And then let's add on to that. And by the time, hopefully, all the students come back in mid-August, that we've got a program down. This is how it's going to be done to make sure that we just don't bring this thing back. And that's, I think we're going in the right direction, but we just got to keep going that way.
Well, Coach, and I also want to ask you, it's interesting you said that about the phasing, and that makes perfect sense. And, just as far as not necessarily being a coach, but being a dad, your oldest daughter, Sydney, is going to be a freshman at UGA. Are they starting to hear stuff as far as how they're going to, what they're going to do with all of that? And even more than kind of like what we're hearing, but I assume she's probably going to live on campus or that kind of thing, and what students are hearing now?
Yeah, the plan is that she's going to live on campus, but we still don't know yet. Yeah. And they're still waiting to get assigned their dorms. Right now you find your roommate and then you figure out, your top three places where you want to live. She hasn't gotten the answer back of what dorm she's going to get. And they still haven't said for sure, hey, this is when you're going to report. I still think it's wait and see. They've got contingencies here over the last couple of months. What they've been doing is, okay, plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, of all the different things of what we're going to try to do. Everybody wants the kids back. Everybody wants them back in class, in person. But I think that the fall, it's going to be different how it's done, if some are online, if some aren't, if the smaller classes are put in the bigger classrooms to spread them out, the bigger classrooms are done online. I don't know, that could happen. This is speculation. This is just me thinking 24/7 about different things. Mm-hmm. So that's what I told Sydney. I said it's not going to be your normal college freshman experience, which I hate for my daughter, but we're hoping that everything is good enough and clear enough to be able to, for her to live on campus, to have a college experience, and we start moving forward. But there are a lot of different scenarios, and I think we're just waiting to see.
Well, you've got the double perspective of not only being someone who works for the University of Georgia, but also is a parent. So I know you won't, but you're a parent anyway with all your players. I mean, I see the coaches on the college level, and on any level, you're not just a coach, but you're also the parent for these guys being away from home. So I know you guys want what's best health wise, not just for your own kids, but for your players and all the student athletes and just the students in general.
Yeah, no question. We want to make sure that these guys are safe and that their families feel good about them coming back here. And that's the next step for our players is playing summer baseball. And they have to feel good about that. We've got a couple players right now that are slated to go to Alaska to play. And that league is still on as of right now. But the coach in Alaska actually sent me something about 2 weeks ago just saying, hey, want to make sure that Michael Polk and Buddy Floyd, everyone's good, that they're ready to come, the families are good. I'm sure there's going to be waivers signed. When you go places right now, I think everyone's going to have waivers signed. So those are the things that are kind of going into place right now. If we can get these kids back to playing summer ball and it's safe and it goes off really well, that's a very good sign, I think, for athletics in general. But, normally we'd have guys in Cape Cod. We've had guys in the Coastal Plain League. Coastal Plain League's still going. Cape Cod League is canceled. But the Sun Belt League, which is a metro Atlanta area league, which is normally a pretty decent league, is going to boom. We've got 13 guys in that league right now. Normally we'd have two or three. So, you know, I think Georgia Tech, Auburn, Clemson, all those other schools, everyone's kind of sending their guys from this area to that league because they can live at home and commute, and I think that's the biggest deal right now.
Well, I hope those guys get to go. You said Michael Polk and Buddy Floyd. I hope they get to go to Alaska because that'll be an experience that they will certainly never forget. That'll be awesome. And, you know, with Cape Cod not, like you said, not being viable this year, you've got these other leagues that are going to be loaded with some players. How many guys did you have or who was supposed to go to Cape Cod?
Well, the freshman Jonathan Cannon and Will Childers were going up there.
Okay.
Tucker Bradley and Riley King, those guys are on hold. You know, you get players like that you don't know what's going to happen with the draft, and then they're just kind of – they were fillers to, you know, if one guy gets drafted, they're going up. So right now we would have had maybe four guys going up there. And it's – the Cape Cod League, it's kind of strange. They don't play a ton of games. And if you have a position player, you want to make sure they get at bats and they play. And, you know, Riley King went up there and played a ton last summer. But we've had guys go up there before and they platoon and they come back and they get 60 at bats.
Yeah.
When you could send them to the Valley League or the Coastal Plain League and they get 150. So, you know, those are the things that we want to make sure is getting to the Cape as a pitcher, I think, makes more sense than going as a position player just because they don't play as many games.
We'll send a memo to Coach Polk and make sure he takes care of everything up there, too.
he's back at Mississippi State, though. That'll be interesting to see if he's going to go. He'll probably go back up there, I'm sure. I mean, he's a vagabond, man. He loves it. If there's baseball being played, he's going to go.
He's the man.
So I would imagine he's probably going to go back up to the Cape.
Well, as we talked with Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland, the bad, ugly news from the pandemic, we've lost Bowling Green baseball. We've lost Furman baseball. I hate this for the sport, and it's not just there's been other sports, too, that are affected by this, but do you feel like – am I leaving anyone else out, and do you feel like we may see some more casualties from this?
Well, Chicago State almost fell victim to it the other day, but apparently their board voted to table the vote for another month, which, you know, one of my morning rituals is just to get on the transfer portal to kind of see what's out there and you see what's going on, and there's a whole bunch of Chicago State players on there. So I think they think that it's going to happen. But baseball is unfortunately a victim because it's, you know, it's a male sport. A lot of schools, if they've got to make a cut, it's going to be to a male sport because of Title IX, and that's it is what it is. And so baseball falls victim, men's track falls victim. Wrestling falls victim. Those are the men's sports. If you've got those sports at your school, then, you know, those sports are a little bit worried. And the Mid-American Conference, I know, you know, the pitching coach at Bowling Green was one of my former players at Kent State. He's just heartbroken. You know, he's worked so hard to get to where he is, and he's got a young family, and all of a sudden the rug was pulled out. They had no idea. They were called 15 minutes before they're having a Zoom meeting for the head coaches like we do every Thursday, but then all of a sudden they got a text message to say, hey, jump on the Zoom meeting 15 minutes before the head coaches meetings. We need to talk to you about something. Mm. And that's how they found out. They had no warning. They had no idea, and they're completely blindsided. But there's an effort to raise the money to bring it back, and just in a couple of days, it looks like they've raised quite a bit of money from their alumni to try to keep the program. I hope they can do it, but you would like to think that, hey, before we cut this, can we raise the money to do it?
Yeah.
And because it looks really bad. Cal Berkeley had to do that a couple years ago. They cut the program, and the kids transferred, coach left, and then 2 months later they were able to bring it back. So I think it's just kind of doing it backwards, but we'll see. I hate it for Furman. You know, there's some, you know, local Atlanta kids that went over there to Furman to play. Brett Harker's a really good coach. Those guys have worked extremely hard, and all of a sudden it just gets taken away, and you just hate to see it.
Well, you think a school like Furman would have some, like you're talking about with what Bowling Green's trying to do, you'd think Furman would have some alums with some deeper pockets that might be able to try to raise some money there as well, but I don't know.
The thing, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, we've got 11.7 scholarships for 35 guys on our roster. So if you just do the math, I know it's not this simple, but you basically got 25 guys paying full cost of attendance. You know, if you got 11.7 scholarships, then, you know, if you just take the bodies of 35 people, you've got 25 people paying full tuition, and that's $60,000 to go to a school like Furman. There's money coming in from those students. Now, sure, there's travel. Sure, there's different costs, but the costs come close to offsetting each other when you look at it in that way. So I just hate it. I mean, I just think there's got to be a better way. But some of these schools, you know, they're in financial difficulties, and that's what they look to. They look to athletics. Where can we trim it a little bit? And unfortunately, it's the men's sports, and baseball is on the chopping block some places.
Yeah. I just hope maybe down the road it'll come back. I mean, Furman's had baseball, I think I read, since 1896. So
yeah.
That's incredible.
They just put $3 million, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, they just put $3 million into a field house for baseball. And so, you know, I just hate it. They've got a really nice facility. The campus is beautiful. They've had really good players over there. And I just hate it for them.
So we could get back up to Fluor Field and play somebody up there. We played Furman up there a few years ago, and it was actually really cool. And I like that. I like Fluor Field. It's the Green Monster, since I guess they're still a Red Sox affiliate up there. But, yeah, that's a cool place. And we played Furman up there, and I know that was before you were here, but that was a good one to head to, and I know a lot of the fans like that. So, who knows?
Well, looking forward to next year, we're actually going to play Wofford there.
Oh, so we are? Okay.
We're going to play in the minor league park in Greenville and play Wofford because they basically what we've done is a two-for-one. They come to us twice, and then we go to them once, but, you know, they wanted to get in the minor league park. So, you know, we can get some more fans over there and be a good draw, and a little bit of a fundraiser for them. If we can get a good gate and get some fans there, then they can make some money for their program. So it makes sense, and you know, they're good guys, and they work hard, and they got a good team, and they're getting some kids in this area to go to Wofford. So I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Oh, that's great news.
Dave,
I'm glad to hear that.
Your dreams just came true on live radio. That's awesome.
Hey, and here's the thing.
That's what I'm here for, Dave.
I appreciate that. And I'm glad we're not playing them at Duncan Park in Spartanburg because that would not be good. So definitely Fluor Field
yeah,
is
looking very
much better.
To that.
Much yep. better. Yeah, so that is great news. I guess that would be like a Tuesday or a Wednesday game or something, a midweek.
Yeah, I off the top of my head, I believe it's a Tuesday. I don't know exactly when, and I think it's in April when we're doing that, but I know it's not early in February because, you know, again, getting a Tuesday night game in February, that can be a little dicey.
I'm excited for that.
Well, you know, I guess schools like Wofford, with Furman not being around for baseball, they got to do some scheduling. They got to add some games. I guess their schools are going to be affected by that.
Yeah, that was the first thing that you know, one of my assistant coaches, you know, asked me when Furman dropped it, hey, did we have Furman on the schedule? We didn't this year. But, you know, yeah, there's people scrambling right now that had Furman. You know, Clemson and South Carolina, I'm sure, probably had Furman on there.
Yeah.
And so now you've got to try to add games, and you're scrambling. And so in Division II just cut their games by 16. They can only play 40 games now next year. So they've already cut their schedule, and I hope they don't do it to us, but there's been rumors that that's going to happen.
Wow.
But we don't know. We're still kind of waiting, and you know, I hope they don't do it, but that's a possibility. Anything and everything is on the table, and I say it every time something crazy happens, well, I'll never be shocked again. Well, this is official. This is the one thing that never could in a million years think could happen. It's happened, and so now for sure I'll never be shocked again.
Before we let you go, so the non-conference weekend series, at least for now, for next year, besides Tech, what were the other three?
We open up with Cornell from the Ivy League, and I just talked to Dan Pepicelli, their head coach, the other day, and as of right now, we're good.
Okay.
As far as their standards, so that they can come down. Then we've got Evansville coming in, and then North Alabama will be the fourth weekend. So Georgia Tech is the third weekend. So Evansville, very good program out of Indiana. And they've gotten better here in the last couple of years. And then North Alabama, which is kind of an upspring Division I, I think this is their third year in Division I. And their head coach is very good friends with Coach Kenny. They talked 2 years ago to try to get on the schedule. And we I forget who we had. We had someone else in Weekend 4, and we had to switch for some reason. So North Alabama in Weekend Four. And then we talked in the following year in 2022 and 2023. Right now we're scheduled to go home and home with UCLA. So that can be a lot of fun.
And I know you told us that, but you also said, "Nah, we'll just have." I mean, we don't. I mean, that's a long way away, but still don't know. You know what things look like for that. And but hopefully that doesn't disappear. I hope that definitely stays.
You never know. In 22, I believe we open up the season with UCLA here. They come here, and then in 23 we go there. And I talked to John Savage, their head coach, 2 weeks ago, and as of right now, we're good. But it could come from either athletic department saying, hey, you know, we need to stay more regional. And a lot of schools are doing that. You know, we're just going to stay regional. I'm hoping by 2022 we're not worried about any of that stuff. But in 2021, I think you're going to see some schedule changes just to stay, you know what, we're going to get on a bus instead of get on a plane. And, you know, as of right now, everything is good.
Coach, always great. Can we get you again next week?
Yeah, let's do it. Getting ready for the regionals next week.
I hear you.
He already did it for us.
I hear you. All right.
Getting ready for the regionals.
Absolutely. We appreciate it, Coach. Always great talking to you, and we'll catch you again next Thursday. Who knows, you know, a week from now could be the equivalent of like a year from now if there's things that develop that we're not expecting. So hopefully we'll just see. But thanks again, and we'll catch you next week.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
Thanks, Coach.
Just a wealth of information. Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.